Morning, everyone. In our Easter services, we began by affirming the faith we confess in the Apostles' Creed, that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and that on the third day he rose again from the dead. And so our Easter theme was, we believe that a buried body began to breathe. But what happened after Easter? Our risen Lord hung around for another 40 days. We talk about the 40 days of Lent most years, but we don't often stand around thinking about the 40 days after Easter, and during that time, another 40 days before he returned to his Father. After 40 days of appearing to his disciples, the risen Jesus rose into heaven. This is commonly known as the Ascension. And so my theme for today is, we believe our animated advocate actually ascended. Most of the time in sermon prep goes into alliteration. What difference does the ascension of Jesus make to our Christian lives? Well, before we try to answer that question, let's ask God to guide and teach us this morning. Almighty God and Father, please again open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it, and open our hearts to receive it. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of the Acts of the Apostles is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Same author, same audience. Both begin with a message to Theophilus, the intended recipient of both books. As we heard in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven. Luke ends his gospel with these words from Luke 24. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. Both phrases, taken up and carried up, express a passive involvement by Jesus. They describe what is happening to Jesus rather than describing what Jesus is doing. We see something similar with the resurrection. Now, normally we say that Jesus rose from the dead, but the way it's described mostly in the scriptures is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Both are true. So the ascension and the resurrection are things that really happened to Jesus. But just think for a moment what it might mean for a person who knew the Jewish scriptures, as Theophilus obviously did, even though he may not have been a Jew originally, he knew the scriptures. Think what it might mean for a person who knew the Jewish scriptures to hear those phrases taken up or carried up. Go right back to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 24. We read these words about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more, because God took him. We go to 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 1. God was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. In 2, 9 and 10, when they had crossed the river, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." And he responded, "You've asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you." And 2 Kings 2:11, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. So Enoch and Elijah both ascended into heaven, yet both are described as being taken or taken up into heaven. Now, I think this image would not have been lost on Luke's readers and hearers. The other image that would not be lost on Luke's readers would be the image of Jesus ascending in a cloud with the promise that he would return in the same way. We heard that in Acts 1, 9-11. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly two men in white robes said to them, or stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So going up in the clouds, returning on the clouds. So the vision and promise is that Jesus comes on the clouds of heaven. Why is that significant? Because of the vision of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, from verse 13. "As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being, or the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed." The Son of Man in Daniel's vision comes on the clouds of heaven and is given eternal kingship over all peoples for all time. When Jesus, who calls himself the Son of Man, ascends on the clouds of heaven, he comes into God's presence and is crowned with glory and honour and praise and power. Jesus is recognised and received as the King of the universe. Now, not that I've ever been there as a participant, but in the Olympic Games, I mean, the Greenwich Games are close, but in the Olympic Games, it is at the moment that a contestant wins the race and defeats all opponents that victory is achieved. But it is not until that contestant stands on the podium and receives the gold medal that victory is acknowledged. So Jesus achieves victory over Satan when he defeats sin and death on the cross. But it's only when he ascends into heaven that his victory is acknowledged and he is crowned as the eternal King. When we say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or any creed, we don't stop with the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven, end of story. We go on to say that he is seated at the right hand of the Father and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, to be seated at the right hand of God, our Father, is a phrase that comes from Psalm 110. Verse 1, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." And that verse is quoted throughout the scriptures. It's quoted in Hebrews 1:13, as well as referred to in many other places. Speaking of Jesus, it says in Hebrews 1:3, "When he had made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." In 12 verse 2 of Hebrews it says, "We should look to Jesus who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." If you were to make me your right hand man, then I am the person that you trust to help and support you in everything that you do. It's the position that both Potiphar and Pharaoh gave to Joseph. And in Egypt, and it's similar to the position that was offered to Daniel by the king. God doesn't stop being God, and yet Jesus can say, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The book of Revelation contains many references to the glory, honour and power that are given to Jesus as the Lion of Judah and the Lamb that was slain. But it is in Daniel's image of the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven to receive an eternal kingship that I believe Luke and most of his readers, that's what they would have had in mind when the ascension of Jesus occurs and is described in the way it happens and is described. But even more interesting is the promise from the angels that Jesus will return in the same way on the clouds of heaven. For after ascending to his throne as king, you have to ask, well, what's the point of returning? What unfinished business does Jesus need to complete? What's he want to come back for? So we go back to that scene in Daniel's vision, in Daniel 7, 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. "As I watched, the thrones were set in place, And an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. The vision of the Ancient of Days, or the Ancient One, or God, is very similar to the picture painted of Jesus in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, 12 and 14. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me. And on turning, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a long robe with a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And in Revelation 5:11, myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands worship him. Jesus, the Son of Man, takes on the role of the Ancient of Days. Remember the context of Daniel's vision? The court sat in judgment and the books were opened. This is Judgment Day. But now the Son of Man will return on the clouds of heaven with all power and authority, not just as the conquering king, but as the judge. Revelation 1:7 we read, "Look, he is coming with the clouds of heaven. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail." So it is to be. Amen. This was one of Paul's main arguments in bringing people to repentance. Acts 17 verse 30 says, "While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." We believe our risen Lord and ascended King is our returning judge. But wait, there's more. Let me go back to the ascension of Elijah. There we find another similarity to the ascension of Jesus. We read that Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of his spirit. And without going into another sermon on what that means, let's just notice that Elijah needs to depart for Elisha to receive his spirit. Sound familiar? John 16:7. "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Because Jesus ascended into heaven, we can receive his spirit. Just as when Elijah ascended into heaven, Elisha received Elijah's spirit. Ascension Day was the time when God gave us our spiritual P plates. L plate drivers always need to have someone with them, but P plate drivers can be more independent. Companies like Deliveroo, Menulog, or Uber Eats, and if I've left one out, I apologise, they could not function if the owner had to physically be with each driver on their deliveries. So much more can be achieved if each driver can go out on their own, in the company's name and with the owner's authority. And that's what God does when he gives us his spirit. Jesus needed to ascend into heaven for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. So what do we learn from all this? As Jesus was taken up by God, so too we have been lifted up with Christ, or in Christ. We have been brought from darkness to light. The Bible says we are new creations in Christ. And if you again know your Bibles, you'll know what happened at creation. There was darkness, and God said, "Let there be light." We are new creations because we've gone from darkness to light. I only just picked that up this week, and it is marvellous in our eyes. We have been brought from darkness to light. We have been brought from death to life. We have been raised to new life, just like we've been made new creations. We've been raised to new life with Christ. And we've been brought from earth to heaven because we've ascended to be with Christ in heaven. This is one of Paul's all-encompassing passages which sums it all up for us. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and then 4 to 6. So Ephesians 2, verse 1 and then 4 to 6. You were dead through your trespasses and sins. And then verse 4. But God, one of the two best words in the Bible. Something happens, but God intervenes and does something. But God, who is rich in mercy, as we've seen through our incredible mercy series we've just had in Lent. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, John 3:16, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's all there, isn't it? God's love and grace and mercy, our salvation by God's grace when we are with Christ or in Christ, God's desire to save, combined with his power to save, to bring us from death to life, to raise Christ and to raise us, to take Christ up to heaven as our ascended King and to place us right there with him in the heavenly places. Now, we have a lot of focus on the resurrection at Easter, and we can say that the resurrection of Jesus is the promise of our future. Because he is risen, so too will we be. But we can also say that the ascension of Jesus is the picture of our present. Resurrection, the promise of our future. Ascension, the picture of our present. For we wait for our resurrection. But we are, in some sense, with Jesus now. And the power that he gained... And the power that he gained from being at the right hand of God, he now passes on to us to enable us to be his witnesses and ambassadors in the world. So, I can't wait to come back after my long service leave to continue this story with the day of Pentecost, which will be brilliant because that flows so naturally on. And that'll be my first Sunday back in June. Remind you that during that time there won't be any communion services because we're having five guest preachers coming from North Sydney. But when I come back, first Sunday in June, Pentecost, we'll be able to continue this amazing story. And so I leave you in God's good hands, and I trust that our guest preachers over the next few weeks will not only be a blessing to you all, but that all of you will bless them with your prayers, encouragement and support as they train to become full-time servants of God's people. So to conclude, I just want to hear you reaffirm your faith. What do you believe? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. This is our faith, the faith of the church. Let's pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and saving us and reconciling us to yourself as sons and daughters in your family. May our lives bring you glory and honour in all we do and say, as we seek to follow Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen and ascended Lord and Saviour. And in his name we pray. Amen.